We turn in the sacred scripture this morning to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, we read the first 22 verses. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. We read thus far the divinely inspired and infallible Word of God. The text for the sermon this morning is the 16th verse. Proverbs 11, verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, after God created all things in the beginning, including man himself, God said that it was good. But there was one creature yet missing, and that was the woman. The woman was the crowning jewel and the finishing touch upon the divine masterpiece. The woman was created in great honor. But very quickly she lost her honor. By the instigation of the devil, she fell into sin. And then she led her own husband into sin. And in the fall of her husband, Adam, all women thereafter would be conceived and born in dishonor. Then God gave a promise. The first gospel promise. The greatest of all promises. The mother promise. Which gospel promise concerned women? And I will put enmity between thee, serpent, Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. God made a promise concerning the woman, and out of the woman would come forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and He would restore to the woman honor, so that now there is honor again, even a greater honor for the woman. She was created in honor. She lost her honor, but her honor is restored in the Lord Jesus. This is not true of all women. The women of the world do not have honor. Any honor, any true honor. The honor of the woman is an honor of the gracious woman, the woman who has been saved by the grace of God and made gracious. The gracious woman, saved by Jesus Christ and in the church of Jesus Christ, she has honor and she retains her honor. This is the teaching of Proverbs 11, verse 16, which text we consider this morning. And let's do so now under the theme, the honor of a gracious woman. Notice, first of all, the gracious woman. Then in the second place, her honor retained. And thirdly, the only possibility, the honor of a gracious woman. A gracious woman retaineth honor. Literally, the text reads, a woman of grace retaineth honor. The first thing to do, therefore, is to understand the concept grace. A woman of grace retaineth honor. What, therefore, is grace? Well, we would say that grace is undeserved favor, and we do so rightly. And perhaps we would spell that out just a bit and say that grace is the undeserved favor that God shows to His people in Jesus Christ. That's grace. But that does not do full justice to the idea of grace in Scripture, because grace, before anything else, is an attribute of God. 1 Peter 5 verse 10 calls God the God of all grace. That means God is inherently and eternally and essentially in Himself a God of grace. God didn't need a creation in order to be gracious. He did not need a fallen humanity in order to be gracious. Altogether, apart from the creation and fallen humanity, God is eternally in Himself a God of grace. Grace is one of His attributes. So when we speak of grace as being undeserved favor, that is the grace of God as it comes to us. But eternally in Himself, God is a God of grace. And there's something more than undeserved favor. We begin with God. Grace is beauty. That's grace. Grace is beauty, loveliness, pleasantness, attractiveness. For example, we read in Psalm 45, verse 2, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Grace is poured into thy lips so that now thou dost speak in grace. That's beauty. Beauty or loveliness is poured into thy lips so that now as thou dost speak in a beautiful and lovely manner. Grace is beauty. This comes out powerfully in 1 Peter 2 verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. The word acceptable there is literally grace. That's grace with God. When you suffer for well-doing and suffer patiently, that's acceptable with God, says Peter. Literally, that's grace with God. What does that mean? When you suffer patiently, that's grace with God. Beauty. Loveliness. That's beautiful to God when you suffer patiently. In the midst of wrongdoing, grace is beauty, loveliness, attractiveness, pleasantness in God. God is eternally the God of grace. He's the God of all beauty in Himself. He eternally beholds Himself as the God of all beauty. And now this God of grace and beauty, by the power of His grace, makes His people gracious. Beautiful. That's salvation. The God of all beauty makes us spiritually beautiful. So when the text speaks then of the woman of grace or a gracious woman, it is referring to the woman who has been made spiritually beautiful by the God of all grace. This is a woman whom God has chosen from all eternity. This is a woman whom God recreates in the act of regeneration, who is justified in the cross of Jesus Christ, who is sanctified daily by the Spirit of Christ. And through all of these acts of salvation, this woman is made spiritually beautiful. In the highest sense of the word, the woman of grace is the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, the queen of the King. If there is one woman of grace, it is God's church, the bride of Jesus. She is altogether lovely as her husband. And therefore, the gracious women are all those women who have been gathered into the church of Jesus Christ. They will be baptized in the church. They will one day confess their faith in the church, or if they haven't, they desire to. They live all the days of their life out of the church of Jesus Christ. That's the gracious woman. It's the woman who has been made spiritually beautiful by the grace of God in salvation, who then lives her life out of the church of Jesus Christ, which church is the great gracious woman. That is the gracious woman. Let us now further explain this woman and begin by doing so negatively. If this is by definition the woman of grace, that means in the first place that the gracious woman of Proverbs 11 verse 16 is not the ruthless woman of the world. The Canaanite, the Egyptian, the Philistine, the Assyrian of Israel's day. The woman of the world is in one word, ruthless. The ruthless woman of the world is the primary antithesis of the gracious woman in the text. There is in the text that last phrase, "and strong men retain riches." That phrase has two purposes. Number one, it is a comparison. Well, first of all, it is a contrast. First of all, it's a contrast between the gracious woman and the strong men. Gracious women, strong men. There's a contrast there. But there's also a comparison. A gracious woman retaineth honor, just as strong men retain riches. But first of all, there is that contrast. And the word strong is not quite as strong as it ought to be. For that word strong is literally terror-inducing or violent or ruthless. And ruthless men retain riches. It's referring, for example, to the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar who came storming through the gates of Jerusalem, went into the temple, took the sacred vessels, burnt the temple to the ground, slaughtered men and women and children, plundered the city, and went back to Babylon. Yes, they were instruments in the hand of God, a God of judgment, but they were ruthless. The gracious woman is set over against the ruthlessness of such men, and we lay hold of that idea of ruthlessness, the contrast in the text, and say that, first of all, the gracious woman is not then the ruthless woman of the world. The woman today is ruthless. She comes storming out of her places of submission in the home, in the church, in the world. She ruthlessly strives for equality with man in every sphere. She is ruthless in her actions and words and thoughts and deeds. And even if the woman of the world appears to be docile and very calm, she is inwardly full of ruthless desires that she has according to her sinful nature. The woman of the world is ruthless. Jezebel is a good example. 2 Kings 9 verse 30 says she painted her face and tired her hair. She painted her face. Literally, in the Hebrew, she put in paint her eyes. She took paint and then she put in that big blob of paint two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And that's what her husband Ahab kissed. She didn't put a little bit of paint on her face. She had paint. And the literal Hebrew reads, she put in paint her eyes. And she tired her hair. Her hair grew so weary from all of the work Jezebel did to that hair. And this was the woman then who stormed through the streets of Israel ruthlessly. She domineered her weak husband Ahab. She would kill anyone who stood in her way, whether that be Naboth the Jezreelite or any of the prophets of Jehovah. Jezebel was from every point of view ruthless. Athaliah. Bloodthirsty, devilish, murderous in trying to kill the seed royal. She was a ruthless woman. In the New Testament, Herodias. Herodias is the New Testament Jezebel. Herodias was the wife of Philip, and Herod then went and took Herodias to be his own wife. And you know you are a ruthless woman if your daughter comes to you and says, the king has granted me one wish, mother, for what shall I ask? And you say, John the Baptist's head on a charger. That is a ruthless woman. Sapphira, the covetous, lying, hypocritical, greedy Sapphira, who with her husband Ananias goes and sets down the money at the feet of the apostles, pretending that it's all the money they had got from the sale of the parcel of land. Ruthless in her hypocrisy and lying. The gracious woman is not the ruthless woman of the world. And the people of Israel knew well of such ruthless women. In the second place, the gracious woman, because she is made spiritually beautiful by the grace of God, is not the woman ordinarily portrayed in the book of Proverbs. If you take the word woman in verse 16 and look up all the references in the book of Proverbs, it's rather disheartening. Almost all of the references to woman in the book of Proverbs are negative, referring to the strange woman. Here are a few examples. Proverbs 6, verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. This woman is a hunter. She goes on the prowl looking for men whom she can lead into her seductive traps and into adultery itself. Proverbs 9, verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. This is the loud and boisterous woman of folly. Proverbs 11:22, the last verse we read, a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. She is beautiful to the eyes of a man, but she has no discretion, no wisdom. She is foolish in her behavior. One more example, Proverbs 21, verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. She's the woman who always wants to fight and quarrel and bicker, especially with her husband. contentious. And the list goes on. And it's no wonder that the wise man comes to the end of the book in Proverbs 31 and says, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a gracious woman? And you say, I can. I can. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there are plenty of such women washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Women of grace. Virtuous women. The woman of grace is not the ruthless woman of the world. In the second place, she is not the strange woman of the book of Proverbs. In the third place, she is not sinless. If she were sinless, then she would have no need of God's beautifying grace. The woman of grace is not sinless. To her great dismay, she has many sins. She struggles with temptation. She has sins of ruthless desires of which she would be very embarrassed if anyone else knew. She has spoken before some ruthless words that cut rather deeply into another's heart. She has performed some ruthless deeds that bring great shame to her. She does have ruthless thoughts of self-righteousness in her heart. She does sin, but all of these sins are nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and they've been blotted out. She's been forgiven. She's been delivered from these sins. Nevertheless, she is still a sinner saint. Let not any gracious woman gathered here this morning go home and suppose that they are not gracious because they still sin. The gracious woman is not sinless. She is a sinner saint who needs the blood of Jesus Christ. In the fourth place, and finally, the gracious woman is that woman made spiritually beautiful by the grace of God. Therefore, she is not determined by certain external, outward, physical characteristics. That's not what makes a woman gracious. You don't have to have white skin to be a gracious woman. Or for that matter, a bronze tan. You don't have to speak a certain language to be a gracious woman. You do not have to have a certain body shape to be a gracious woman. Contrary to everything the world may tell you, and to all of the pictures the world may show you, a gracious woman is not defined by external characteristics, for example, the shape of one's body. Even the consummate woman of beauty in this world will lose her beauty, for time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all our youthful beauty away. And one eventually goes to the grave where worms eat and destroy this body. That's a rather sobering truth, but that's the reality. Now do not misunderstand, that's not to despise earthly beauty and physical beauty. God created the woman beautiful. Each woman in her own way is physically beautiful. Abigail, 1 Samuel 25 verse 3 of Abigail, it was said she was of a beautiful countenance. She had a lovely face. The gracious woman is not defined, though, by external characteristics. You don't have to be married to be a gracious woman. Single women are beautiful. You do not have to have children to be a gracious woman. Childless wives are beautiful. You do not have to be exquisitely graceful in your every move. For clumsy women in the church are beautiful in their own way. You do not have to have a certain letter grade or certain accolades or certain achievements. You do not have to have certain recognizable talents to be a gracious woman. You don't have to have a certain personality or disposition to be a gracious woman. Some women are quiet and soft-spoken, and other women are exuberant and fun-loving. Both can be gracious women in God's church. You don't have to be a woman who has a long history in God's church in order to be gracious. A woman could have been brought out of unbelief or a false church into the church of Jesus Christ and confesses her faith in the church, and she is as gracious as the woman who has been in the church for 80 years. You don't need a long history to be a gracious woman. The gracious woman is not defined by certain external, outward, physical characteristics. Her beauty is the spiritual beauty of God's grace that saved her. She is not the ruthless woman of the world. She is not the strange woman of Proverbs. She is not sinless. She is not defined by certain external circumstances. Positively, the gracious woman is, first of all, beautiful in heart. She's beautiful in her heart. Psalm 45, verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. The king's daughter is all glorious within. She's beautiful in her heart, and that means four things. Number one, she loves God. That's a gracious woman. The woman who loves God. Her name is Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. She loved God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16, verse 14. Number two, in her heart, she believes in Jesus for salvation. She knows she needs salvation, and she flees for refuge to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus is her Savior. Her name is Anna, the old believing prophetess in the temple, longingly looking for her Savior, because in her heart she believes in Jesus. Number three, in her heart she hates sin. She's not sinless, that's true. But she hates her sin. She hates her sin. She flees temptation. She runs from her sin. She despises her sin. She's the sinful woman in the Pharisee's house who, according to Luke 7, 37 and 38, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His, that is Jesus' feet, behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with ointment. She loved Him. She hated her sin. And finally, in her heart, she submits to authority. She doesn't chafe under the authority of her husband or the authority of the church. Her name is Sarah, who honors the authority of her husband Abraham, calling him Lord. That is the beautiful woman, the gracious woman, first of all. In her heart, she loves God. She believes in Jesus. She hates her sin. She submits to authority. Beautiful within. Secondly, she is gracious or beautiful in speech. Psalm 45, verse 2, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. She hates flattery. She hates gossip. Even if it's true, she's not going to speak it if it doesn't edify spiritually. And when she knows an important matter, she will be very discreet about it. She hates gossip. She uses her tongue for the praise of God, for the encouragement, and for the comfort of the fellow saints, to build up the others. When circumstances are difficult, she brings an encouraging word. The words of her mouth are beautiful before the face of God. She is the woman of Proverbs 31, verse 26. Who openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's the gracious woman, beautiful in her speech. In the third place, she's beautiful in heart, in speech. Now third, in conduct. She's the woman you want your little girls to be around. Whether she's a teenager, a young adult, an adult, or an aged woman, she's the woman you want your little girls to be around. Because in her behavior, in her external conduct, even in her dress, in all of the things she does, she is a good example to the little girls. Beautiful in her conduct. Proverbs 31, verse 13, she worketh willingly with her hands. Her name is Dorcas. Acts 9, verse 36, full of good works and alms deeds. Beautiful in conduct. And in the fourth place and finally, the gracious woman is beautiful, spiritually beautiful by the grace of God in relationships. In heart, in speech, in conduct, in relationships. She's faithful to children, whether they are her children or another's. As a mother hen to chicks, she is faithful to children. Her name is Jochebed, the mother of baby Moses. Her name is Eunice, the mother of young Timothy. Number two, she's faithful to grandchildren. Whether they be her own grandchildren or another's grandchildren, she values them. Her name is Lois, the grandmother of young Timothy. Number three, she's faithful to church members, her fellow members in the congregation. Her name is Phoebe, whom in the epistle to the Romans, Paul calls a servant of the church, the woman working for the saints in the church. Number four, she's faithful to her boyfriend, as the case may be, or to her husband. She is Ruth, not only faithful to Naomi, but faithful to Boaz, her husband, and whither thou goest, Boaz, there I will go. Faithful to her husband. And finally, she is faithful to her parents, even if her parents are wicked. She still loves them. She still honors them as God commands. This gracious woman is gracious in relationships. In heart, in speech, in conduct, and in relationships, spiritually beautiful. This gracious woman has honor. Proverbs 11, verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. That is, she has a kind of glory whereby she is highly valued and esteemed. Honor. The gracious woman does not have honor in the world, for the world itself does not even honor the woman, much less the gracious woman. There's no honor for the woman in the world, and it doesn't take a feminist to conclude that throughout history, the woman has often been denigrated and dishonored. Often viewed inherently inferior to man, often been overlooked and unappreciated as a slave, only having as her purpose to minister unto the desires of man, forced into marriages, sold for various vile practices, murdered as little girls aborted so that more male seed could be brought forth. She has been subjected to polygamy and concubinage, where she is not the one woman who receives the honor and love of her husband, but merely a statistic in a home sent to satisfy the carnal appetites of a man who may have 100, even 1,000 women in his home. History has seen the woman subjected to polygamy. How often have you read in history of one woman taking 100 husbands and dishonoring them? Though it may happen, history has demonstrated that the woman has often been subjected to polygamy and dishonored, and it still happens in third world countries and in the cults of the world. The woman is dishonored. We are by no means advancing a social gospel this morning. And let it also be understood that the rise of radical feminism is. The rise of radical feminism emphatically is not the honoring of the woman. Feminism, in thrusting forth the woman into roles for which God did not create the woman, is not the honor of the woman. And when the church caves into feminism and women thrust themselves forth to the pulpit and into the consistory room and into the congregational meeting where they have a vote and even the prominent voice, such behavior is not the honoring of the woman. Radical feminism does not honor the woman. There is no honor for the woman in the world. And all you have to do is talk to a gracious woman, and she will tell you that. The woman who is spiritually beautiful in the church, in her heart, and in her speech, and in her conduct, and in her relationships, and who lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, can tell you she's not honored in the world. She's dishonored. She's mocked. She's ridiculed. She is scorned for her spiritual beauty. The woman is not honored by the world. The only place where the woman is honored is in the Christian church, where there is biblically faithful Christianity. And there alone is the woman honored. The honor of the woman is that God honors her and esteems her highly, far above rubies. That's your honor, woman. God esteems you, Jehovah God. The honor of a woman is the esteem given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. And note his ministry and how he did not always go to a woman who may have appeared to be the consummate gracious woman. He went to the notorious sinners. That woman in Samaria by the well, and how many husbands did she have? Christ went to her. Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils, Christ went to her. The woman caught in adultery, Christ went to her. The Syrophoenician woman, the widow of Nain, Jesus honors the gracious women, those women who have been chosen by God, and those women for whom he will die. Though they are sinners, he will die for them. The Lord Jesus Christ honors women. And the greatest proof of the honoring of Jesus Christ for women is his cross, where he shed his blood not only for men, but for women. He died for women. And on the third day when he arose again, he first appeared with the great message of the gospel and life in himself to women. Not to men. The resurrected Lord appeared first to women because the Lord Jesus Christ honors women. And that is the honor of a woman, that she is highly esteemed by the Son of God himself who died for women. And in the third place, the honor of a gracious woman is the honor that the church gives to her. Men give her that honor. The young men, or as the case may be, even older men, give honor to the woman, the gracious woman, when they take their eyes off the ruthless women of the world who profess nothing of the name of Jesus Christ. And though they possess an outward beauty, when the men of the church take their eyes off the ruthless women of the world and they behold the women of God's church, that's the honor of the woman. And woman, if a man has never beheld you in that way, do not suppose that you have no honor. For the greatest of all men is your husband, the husband of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he honors you and beholds you. The honor of women in the church is the honor that the little girls give to the older women. It's not the attention that a woman may receive from a little girl when she dresses inappropriately or speaks profanely or sins in such a way that gets the little girls to laugh at her. That's not the honor of a woman. But it's in her godly conduct when the little girls emulate her and want to follow her. That's her honor. It's when the little daughter in the home rises up one day and calls her mother blessed. That's the honor of a gracious woman, to see her daughter rise up and call her blessed. It's the honor that parents and the grandparents in the church, the esteem that they give to the daughters of the church, as they have no greater joy than to see these daughters walk in the way of truth. And so they guide them and lead them in the truth. That's the honor for a little girl, a gracious little girl, to have parents and grandparents give her that kind of attention. And even if one does not have that from parents or grandparents, she has the Lord Jesus Christ always who guides her. And finally, in the church, it is the honor that the husband gives to his gracious wife. Proverbs 31, verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Woman, that's quite some honor that your husband safely trusts in you. Your husband trusts you. That's your honor. And if one should have a wicked husband who does not trust in her, then she ought to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great bridegroom, and his esteem for her. The honor of the woman is the esteem that she receives from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the church. Let it be stated that there is no honor for a woman who deliberately continues in sin and steadfastly refuses to hear the word of God and impenitently continues in a dishonoring lifestyle of rebellion to God. There is no honor for such a one, though she may have a kind of outward honor today where she prances through the streets of Jerusalem in her paint and domineers even the king of the land. Tomorrow she will be cast forth into the streets where dogs will eat her and lap up her blood. That's a solemn warning from the Scriptures that the impenitent woman who stubbornly persists in sin has no honor. There's a warning in the Scriptures, but the gracious woman of God's church has honor. And the text is emphasizing that she retains her honor. A gracious woman retaineth honor. She has honor, but she keeps it. She retains it forever. That's the main significance of the second clause of the text. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and we could even read as, or even as, strong men retain riches. These ruthless, strong, violent men get riches, but the point of the text is that they retain them. And that's often the case in the world with millionaires and billionaires, and often it takes a kind of ruthless spirit in order to become a millionaire and a billionaire. Not always, but ordinarily, one has to be somewhat ruthless to be able to become a billionaire. But it is that man then who retains his wealth. He presses all of his energy and his ruthless spirit into the service of maintaining that which he has gotten. And men do that. The history of the world has demonstrated that. Men who get riches retain them. And just as those strong men retain their riches, so the gracious woman retaineth her honor. But as a matter of fact, Every strong carnal man will lose all of his riches in the day of Jesus Christ. He will not retain them forever. In fact, he loses them at his death. The woman of the text retains her honor in a far superior way to the ruthless women, rather the ruthless men of the text. The strong man, the gracious woman, retains her honor forever. February 17, 2013. And Sarah is still mentioned by name. And Ruth. And Lydia. And Dorcas. And Anna. And Mary Magdalene. Thousands of years later, in the Church of Jesus Christ, they are still mentioned by name. The gracious woman retains her honor forever. And you women retain your honor, your name into all eternity, as God loves you and esteems you into all eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ values you into all eternity. And the Church of Jesus Christ embraces you into all eternity. The gracious woman has an honor, and she will never lose it. She will be highly esteemed into all eternity. The gracious woman is like a forever stamp. She never loses her original value. Never. Into all eternity, she is highly honored. The gracious woman retains her honor. The only possibility for this is the grace of God. The grace of God. Parents do not give birth to little girls who naturally develop into gracious women. Parents cannot make their growing girls gracious. We can't. Husbands cannot make their wives gracious. The church cannot make women gracious. The woman herself, by a determinate choice of her own supposed free will, cannot make herself gracious. It is God's grace and God's grace alone that makes a woman gracious. That's the only possibility, and the gracious woman knows it. If we want to take the whole text and boil it all down and summarize all things, this is the gracious woman. It's the woman who says, "I am what I am by the grace of God alone." Just that. That is the gracious woman. She recognizes it is the grace of God alone which makes her gracious and which gives her her honor. God's grace is the only possibility. And that's why she retains her honor. If the honor of a woman had anything to do with herself and her own achievements and her own merits and her own accomplishments, she would be a woman of honor today and she would lose that honor tomorrow. But because the grace of God faileth never, that grace, which is the only possibility and the only explanation of her graciousness and her honor, is the reason why now she is a gracious woman of honor into all eternity. It's the grace of God that explains her. And knowing that, the gracious woman, knowing that she has all that she has by the grace of God, she will be so gracious to others and tender-hearted and forgiving because God was gracious to her. It's the grace of God that explains the gracious woman. We end where we begin. God's grace in Jesus Christ and God's grace alone explains this text. Woman of the church, you are spiritually beautiful by the grace of God and you have an honor you will retain into all eternity. May God be praised, and may we honor the Lord Jesus Christ for his work in giving to the church gracious women. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thou art so good to us. So good to us in giving to us as a church gracious women. And because we are one body and we are one living organism and united whole, we all are in the company of gracious women. And even if we have a peculiar difficulty in life, because we are closely united to a woman who is not gracious, in fact, disgraceful, Lord, by thy almighty Spirit, comfort and encourage us, and give us strength in the congregation where there are gracious women, and always lead us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we see his honor for us, in that he gave his life for us and died for us as women, but also for us as men. All of our hope and comfort is in the cross of our Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and deliver us into heaven, where we shall all be gracious in perfection, world without end. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.